And so I was talking to one of my friends at work a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about haircuts. And so I'm really good friends with Stephanie McDowell over here, and one of the things that she's done for me just in the last couple of years is a girl named Brittany cuts our hair. And and so whenever Stephanie's just really nice, she's great, and I don't have a lot of time, and so whenever she makes an appointment for herself, she always makes one for me. And so Stephanie goes, and she gets her hair colored. And while Brittany is coloring her hair, after Brittany's done coloring her hair, it just sits there. And so while it's sitting, then Brittany cuts my hair. And so her and Steph can just sit and chat, and I can just kind of be there all quiet. And so, well, recently, Steph has informed me that she is growing her hair out. So I haven't really cut my hair in like 8 months. And so I was telling my friend about it at work. And she's like, why don't you just go ahead and make your own appointment? And just... And I'm like, yeah, okay. I said, but what came out of my mouth really stuck with me. And I said, well, no. I'm like, because if Stephanie's not there, that means I have to talk to Brittany. Which isn't bad. I really like Brittany. She's really nice. But I just, you know, it was just one of those things. I'm just not always comfortable with that if it's not someone that I necessarily choose to be a friend with. So anyway, you know, I think it's in Matthew. He says, Jesus says, for out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. And for me, I mean, that was straight out of my heart. I had never consciously thought that in my head before, but it just kind of came out, and I knew, all right, God, you're talking to me, so I guess I have to do this. So like I said before, too, I kind of like to choose who I hang around with, especially at work. You know, I don't necessarily just go and hang out with people just to hang out. So God has really placed this woman on my heart, and she's really sweet, and I love her to death. Her name's Michelle. And Michelle's just been having a lot of issues lately, and I love her to death, like I said, but you couldn't get anyone more opposite of me. Like, outside of work, anything that she would probably want to do, I'd probably just want to, you know, no, I'd really rather not do that. So anyway, so she's been really stressed, and so God's just really laid on my heart to reach out to her. So the other day, she wasn't doing too well, so I went and I got her lunch, and, you know, it was a really busy day for me, and I almost didn't really have time to do it, but I did. So I took her into her room, and I'm like, hey, here's some lunch, you know, what's going on? And God, it's kind of weird, whenever I've shared the gospel, he, like, lets me know, like, 10 minutes in advance, and I start sweating, and I just, I get really nervous, and it's, I mean, I just know it's coming. I can try to, like, change the conversation, and it just comes back to it. So that particular day, God's just sitting there, like, kind of nudging me, come on, come on, because she was talking about her son and heaven and, you know, she needs to really go to church and all this stuff. I mean, it was just poking me all directions. I'm like, all right. So I'm finally like, so, Michelle, so if you die tonight, do you know you're going to go to heaven or not? So it just came out. So not quite that bad, but it came out. And, of course, Michelle, and you just got to know her, she's sitting there. She's like, well, no, I don't know. She's like, but I want to find out. So I'm like, all right. So I shut the door to the conference room, and out it all came. And even though, I mean, really, I was fighting it because I was just like, I'm not ready. I need 10 minutes. I need to go and look at the diagram just really fast. So God had there's the other verse that says, you know, let your conversation be seasoned with salt and full of grace so you can answer anyone. And I really didn't feel prepared at that time, but God just laid it on me like, you've got to know this stuff, and you've got to know it when I want you to know it, not just when, you know, you have 10 minutes or 15 to prepare. So really since that time, I mean, he really blessed it. I was really scared to tell her just because I work in human resources, and human resources people tend to frown on this kind of thing at work. You don't necessarily, you know, talk about God and your faith. And so I didn't really know what would turn to this. I didn't know if Monday morning would come around and it would just be, why'd you tell me that stuff? But it didn't. I think, you know, our friendship's really been blessed by this, and I hope it continues. And I don't know if this is being recorded or not, but I'm kind of hoping she... Oh, it is. Okay. So I've been inviting Michelle to church, and maybe she won't hear this. So anyway, in a nutshell, that's what God's been doing in my life. And I don't know, I forgot to hit my timer, so I don't know if I've hit 10 minutes or not, but I want to stop before I go over it. So that's it.
Thanks, Jana. That was encouraging. Christina Sadler is next. I'll let her come on up. She's one of our Saturday night women. She's been married just almost a year now. So we'll hear from Christina.
Can you guys hear me okay? I have it all written out, and I doubt I'm going to even look at this too much, but I want to just speak about a dear friend, Micah Coleman. I know that many of you guys have heard of him, know him, but if not, I want to tell you a little bit about him and how his life has impacted my life and my relationship with God. About 2 years ago, Micah found out that he had liver problems and that he was going to need a liver transplant. Then about exactly a year ago, he got his first transplant and then it failed. So then during that time, this last year, he's been in and out of the hospital, and then the Lord took him away about a week ago from us on earth, but he's with Jesus, which is really awesome. But some things that have gone on in that last year when Micah was in the hospital, me and my husband and close friends had prayed for Micah for I don't know how long, just hoping that God would heal him and that God would be glorified through him, and so I prayed probably every day for at least 10 minutes, just pouring out my heart to God that God would heal Micah. And during that time, as time went on, so maybe about 4 months ago, I started to realize that God might not heal Micah. And so I started to get pretty scared, thinking that this friend of mine was not going to be here on earth with me anymore. And so, I'm getting nervous. And so, during that time, I started becoming really disappointed in God. I wasn't really sure what to believe, what God was going to do, if God was good. I just started having all these doubts and fears because I'd never met anyone who loved God more than Micah. So then about 2 weeks ago, the doctors called us and told us that Micah's lungs were filling with fluid and that he'd be dead within the next 2 hours. And so we were sitting in the waiting room with his close family and all praying, and I kept thinking, I started panicking, and I was like, I'm not ready for God to take away this friend of mine. And God bless me, he let Micah live through that time, and during that week, me and a couple of close friends and Micah's family, we would just be constantly in prayer, just praying that God would do whatever was in his will. And so during that time, I started to really realize that nothing was in my control, that Micah wasn't going to get better because of me and that he wasn't going to go to be with Jesus because of me, that it had nothing in the world to do with me, which was kind of a shock because apparently the world doesn't revolve around Christina Sadler. So anyway, during this time, God gave me just this wonderful verse. God taught me to have a childlike faith and to just love Jesus and to just trust him. So then here in Mark, this is where people are trying to bring their children to Jesus and the disciples had rebuked them. And I know many of you have heard this verse, but just listen just for a second. It says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And personally, I can't wait until the day that God takes me in his arms and that he blesses me for having a childlike faith and for trusting in him. Another verse that came to mind during this whole time, my husband would always tell me, God is good, God is good. And that's how he got through it. And like I said, I was going through doubts, and I wasn't sure if God really was good. So then on the day that the Lord took Micah, my husband kept repeating this verse. And this is a verse that we've all heard. And it's Romans 8:28. He said, We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Something that surprised me that it doesn't say that he works to make us feel good. He tells us that he works for the good. And it might not feel great, and half the time it probably won't. But the good that God is working for is eternity with him. And it's eternity with his children, that he can have them in his arms and celebrate that we made it through this life together. And God used Micah to do that. And I thank God for that. I thank God that God used Micah. And as many of you know, there were doctors and nurses and people that got to hear the gospel because of Micah. And because that he's at home with Jesus in them, I hope that one day that I'll get to see those doctors and that they'll tell me that it was because of Micah that they made it and that they're there with Jesus in his arms. And I just think that's an amazing thing. And so ladies, I just want to just tell you that we're pursuing the goal. And the goal is to be with Jesus for eternity. And that's an awesome thing. So.
Thanks, Christina. Rachel Hahn, you can come on next. Rachel is next. This is our second Hahn we get to hear from today.
I'm really scared to be up here. It's one thing behind a bass, but it's another when you have a microphone. I figured that I would introduce myself because there's a lot of you guys here that I don't know. So I'm Rachel Hahn. I'm 18 years old. I've been part of The Rock for 7 years. My parents are Phil and Linda Hahn. I'm going to Salt Lake Community College this semester, and I'm part of The Rock U, and I frequent Saturday night service and the next level. I wrote everything down because I'm so nervous, but I've been a Christian for 12 years, but I would say that my heart did not completely flip for Christ until January of last year. My amazing grandfather died after a long fight with pulmonary fibrosis and complications from it. And as I was standing at my grandfather's wake and appreciating the life that he led for Christ, I realized that if I wasn't living for Christ, then life wouldn't be worth living. And that's when I surrendered all the pieces of me that I'd been holding back from him. And so this last year has been kind of a crazy year for me, but I was just going to say how God is leading me right now. At this very moment, my biggest struggle is trusting God with my future, worrying about what job I'm going to have in the fall and what classes I'm going to be taking, and because I don't even really know what I want to do with my life right now. So the past few weeks, my prayers have been me freaking out to God about what to do with my life, but I feel okay with that because God and I have a long time to work that out, and the most important thing is that I'm all right with each day in the meantime. I have to admit that during the first few months of school in the fall, I had a really hard time with anxiety. Some days I wouldn't even get out of bed because I was so afraid of what came next and what my identity was. I was just freaked out and I was lonely, but I think that God used that time of me being scared and of me feeling alone to grow closer to him. Never in my life have I spent so much time of each day and night crying out to him. And sometimes I could trust that Jesus had saved me, but I couldn't trust God to get me through the small details of every day. And even when I doubted him, I was still talking to him and looking to him for guidance. And over time, I've started to understand that God doesn't always answer me with lightning bolts and in-your-face gestures, but he does reward my waiting and my praying. A good verse that I turn to is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I feel like I have that peace now. I might have been really crazy for a lot of months, and I still might go a little crazy sometimes. But I trust God fully to get me through today, and I trust that he is good. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. Last is Erica, one of our game masters from last night.
Okay, so I wrote mine down too, because second only to party games, my next best irrational fear is public speaking. But I just wanted to start out by saying Jesus is just awesome. He is so awesome. I've been coming to the Rock for about a year and a half now, and I've been a Christian for quite a while, but I really have to say that in the last year and a half, I've never felt so close to Jesus. There are many things that I could share with you about what God's been doing in my life, but I think they can all be summed up by this. I've flipped for Jesus. When I first heard Pastor Bill mention flipping for Jesus, I thought I could kind of understand what he meant, because I had felt that way from time to time over the years. I would be really excited by God's grace and overwhelmed by all the great things that he could do in my lifetime. But I remember wishing that I could feel like that all the time. But not long after I left church on Sunday, the world always seemed to cloud the feelings that I'd had, and the process of day-to-day life seemed to push away the closeness that I felt to God. Flipping for Jesus has changed all that, and it's been really amazing. I think outwardly the main way that you can see what having flipped for Jesus means for me in my life is that I'm no longer the shy, withdrawn person that I used to be, at least not quite so bad. I used to think that I'd been born shy because it was as much a part of me as having brown hair or being nearsighted. I've got a photo from when I was about 7 of myself at a friend's slumber party, and there's all these little girls crowded in the middle, cheesing it up for the camera and holding hands, and I'm over here in the corner looking petrified. That pretty much sums up how it's been. I was saying to Linda, I was like Izzy's Velcro dog, really wanted to stay by the owner's knee and not go on or go out. And I think you may have heard the Velcro ripping noise as I came up here, pretty much. But I'm happy to say that God has really changed that. And I always thought, you know, I saw my introvertedness as not being something that hurt anyone besides myself, because after all, if I chose to miss out on the fun of social interaction, it was my own fault, and I was the only one who was suffering for it. But I've come to understand that by choosing to stay in my shell, I was denying God the ability to work through me, which has consequences that go far beyond my own comfort. He didn't make me to be a shy person. I love 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God does not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline." So I'd been asking for God to change my heart, and he really has. Flipping for God has also given me a deeper love for all his people. Now when I go to the grocery store, instead of like kind of trying to avoid eye contact with people and trying to get out of there with as few contacts as possible, I find myself just purposely making eye contact and smiling at people or talking to the person who's checking the groceries out. And I know it's a little thing, but for me, it's just really neat. And I find myself, you know, really wanting to get to know every one of you, my sisters in Christ. And it's really cool because I can look out at you and not despair that I probably am not going to have time in this lifetime to get to know each one of you, because I know that I'll see you in heaven and we can sit down and have an eternal cup of coffee and a long talk. And that was just the most awesome realization. So, and coming from someone who used to freeze up at the slightest possibility of social interaction, that's a pretty big change. And the other thing I found is that flipping for Jesus has made me want to just share Christ with everybody, to tell them the wonderful things that I've seen God do. And I'm finding that when you're open to that, God will give you the most amazing opportunities in your life to share Christ. And not see Opal, but if you ever have a chance, a good example of that, ask Opal Bates about the day her car went missing. God really is amazing. So having flipped for Christ, I do have some family and friends who now think I'm entirely insane, which is okay by me. It may seem strange coming from someone who not long ago was so self-conscious that I would rather have dental surgery than play a party game. But it doesn't really bother me now, because I know that maybe they're concerned for my mental state because I mention Jesus way more often than I used to, or because I feel compelled to share something I learned on a Sunday teaching or something I read in the Bible that day. But God works all things to good, so even if they think that I'm nuts right at the moment, I have confidence that eventually they'll notice how much better life is with Jesus. And the thing is that Christ is so much a part of my life now that to not say something would be unnatural, just like for me saying something before I flipped would have been unnatural. So Yeah, I wouldn't want to go back into my little shell for anything. In fact, I don't think I would fit back into it even if I wanted to. I had something interesting happen while I was praying about what I would say today. And I was trying to figure out how to explain how flipping for Jesus happened. And it's something that's hard to explain and understand, and words just weren't coming. And that night I had this really neat dream. In my dream, I was praying for somebody that I know, and I was praying that God's love would just surround this person, and his protection would surround him, and I could see that happen in my dream. It was really neat. There's like blue flames surrounding him, and it was really awesome, but then it wasn't enough, I felt like. I felt like I really wanted to see God's love, not just around him, but through him, and all through him, and as I was praying, you know, for being surrounded, and I couldn't figure out what the words were to describe what I wanted, you know, for the love to be through him. And I was thinking in my dream, it's got to be Sir something, and I couldn't think what. So the dream ended right there, and it really bothered me. So the next morning, being the person that I am, I got up and I went and got the dictionary, and I was looking through here, and I looked up what Sir means, and it's above and extra, greater than. So surround means to be overwhelmed by something greater than you that's around you. And so it dawned on me that what I was looking for was a word that would mean something greater than you coming from within you. And the word would be then surrender. And surrender means to give oneself up as to the power of another, submit or yield, and be overwhelmed from the inside out. And I think that is what made the difference for me in going from a casual Christian to somebody who had flipped for Christ. I had been surrounding myself with Christ, going to church and reading the Word and fellowshipping with other Christians, which is a really good thing. It's huge and very important to be surrounded that way. But the difference for me was being surrounded and surrendered, surrendering my will to God's will and letting him work through me. And surrendering is not something that comes easy for me. It means, you know, saying, okay, God, even when I would not choose that for myself. As in, okay, God, I will hang those Rock Church door hangers all around my neighborhood, if that's what you really want me to do, even though that's probably the last thing I would have seen myself ever doing. I think that, in fact, is when my husband realized that I had flipped. We started doing the first few houses, and I have to admit that I kind of hung behind my 10-year-old son, who does not have my problem with being shy. But by the time we were finished, I realized that I'd really enjoyed it, and who knows how many lives might have been touched by something that small, just because I spent a tiny part of one day doing what God wanted me to do. I look out at all of you, my sisters in Christ, and I think about what amazing things God is going to do through you. And I see all of our children back in the children's ministry, and I think about them, and I think, wow, now there is a revolution waiting to happen. It's so exciting being part of this, and I really can't wait to see where God takes us from here.
That was encouraging. Thanks. It was encouraging to hear what God's doing in all the lives of the women here. That's the end of the official things. I have a couple last details. Well, first of all, I'm not going to mention names, but there's a lot of people who put a lot of time into all this stuff, from the tables to the games and music and food and everything. And I'm not going to mention your names. You guys know who you are. It's too many people to mention. But let's just give those women a round of applause for all their help. And really, all of those details being pulled together is what makes for a really good, enjoyable time. And I don't know about you guys, but it's been a good, enjoyable time this weekend. You should have gotten this, the retreat evaluation, in your notebooks. And so we're not going to collect them. If you guys want to just fill those out, just so we can get your feedback, fill those out. And then I think just leave them. Did you want them on that registration out in the lobby?